Sometimes, as I start my conversations about user-centric product management and user research, people immediately get into a panic. I hope you will stay in the room for now. In their heads, they picture spending just months on user research only and not delivering solutions fast enough. Some of them even fear that you will never get back from user research. My name is Rosanna. I'm a product leader. I build product teams and together with them, digital products. In open source, we have some of the most powerful, most reliable, and most innovative software ever written. We create not just software, but transparency, freedom, and trust, the foundation of our democracy. I wish even more people would use open source products. Just imagine one day all the closed source products becoming obsolete, because everything what you need as a user is already out there as open source. Cool, isn't it? I'm asking myself, can we further increase the user adoption of open source software by answering those questions? Who is it actually for? Which problem are we solving for this user group? And what is their need? In the next 20 minutes, I want to debunk the myths around user-centric product management. I want to also give you a clear manual on how to start, even today, to make sure you build the right product and build the product right. And investing maybe only a few hours in user research, talking to users, and building your tiny product management habits. Some open source projects struggle with financing, have only a small team, are engineering-centric, and experience even maintainer burnout. Those are all serious issues. It takes a village to build a sustainable business model based on open source. Often you might see sponsors willing to pay only for certain features and already having a very clear idea how you need to implement it. So how would you even be able to spend time or money on user research and product management? Let's start with the basics first. Let me clarify a few terms I will be using during my presentation so that we are all on the same page. What is a product team? A product team should have on board all needed roles in order to turn an idea into a solution. Ideally, no external dependencies. And usually, you would need a product manager, a UI/UX designer, an engineering lead. This is so-called product trio. And additionally, of course, engineers or other roles which are relevant for this topic. The product manager is responsible for the what and the why. The designer for the experience, how it's built. In engineering, how it actually feels. And the engineering, how it's actually built. Sometimes people think that product management should deliver solutions. No, not at all. This is the part on the side of design and engineering. Product managers basically deliver only problems to solve. But let's be honest, what is the reality of many open source product teams? Very often you handle the whole product alone. If you're lucky, there are two engineers handling the product, right? Given that, it's even more important that you make sure you build the right product before starting with the development. What brings me to the next question? What is the responsibility of a product manager? A product manager is accountable for whether the product creates value for users and works from the business perspective, because open source developers also need to pay their bills. A product manager does not magically wake up knowing what problems to solve. The actual work of a product manager is to reduce uncertainty by talking to users, by running small experiments, by mapping the opportunity space, by validating assumptions before committing engineering time to it. A product manager is someone who makes decisions which problems to solve using evidence from users and the market, not opinions of the loudest or the highest paid people in the room. What they are accountable for is not output, not the number of features delivered. This is the case for feature factories. They are responsible for the outcome and the value delivered to the users. Let's start with clarifying the biggest myths around user-centric product management. Myth number one, user research takes ages, you need a dedicated team to do that, and we cannot afford it. Absolutely not. The biggest responsibility of a product manager is to make sure you build the right product, that you solve the right problem. Great, you have an idea, but is it even a relevant one? Is it the best one you could be solving now? I would suggest to spend some time in the problem space before jumping to the solution space. Especially if you work in a very small FOSS team, make sure you spend your time tackling the right problem. Make sure you invest your time wisely. Otherwise, after months of development, you might find out that your solution is not actually addressing the needs of your users. I assume that many of especially small and emerging open source product teams cannot afford a dedicated product manager person. And this is not what I'm trying to suggest. I'm trying to emphasize the importance of dedicating some time to fulfilling a product manager role. And this can be any person in the team, any person eager to ask questions and listen. Listen with curiosity and not judgment. To give you an example, I'm a product leader at Open Project, which is a project management tool, an alternative to Jira. Last year, Atlassian announced end of life for Jira Data Center. So we pivoted with our strategy to fully focus on enabling users in the migration from Jira to Open Project. But what does it actually mean? We don't have dedicated product managers or user researchers in our team. We don't have people who would be able to clarify those details. We are very pragmatic. So I did a foundational research myself in order to define strategic areas which we should tackle. So what did I do? I just talked to people. I talked to Jira users. I talked to our existing users. I did roughly 10 interviews. I observed how people work. And with that, I was already able to understand users' needs and use cases. I was able to understand what kind of problems they are trying to solve. Based on that, I was able to prioritize those use cases for our team. And I spent in total less than 1.5 days to understand our users, their processes and needs. I went on our users' island. Some of you might say, whoa, 1.5 days, that's a lot. It is, you're right. But compare it to days or maybe even months of a big team heading in the wrong direction and not delivering the highest value they could possibly deliver. 1.5 day is in this context a very little investment. And this helped us so much to focus our teams around the key identified use cases. The most relevant use case I identified within the foundational research was the support of Agile way of working. Based on this information, we created a dedicated product team focusing only on those opportunities. To make sure within the Agile product team that we prioritize the problems with possibly highest value, we did a deep dive research only on the topics related to Agile ways of working. Again, we just talked to people. At the same time, while conducting those interviews, we tried to understand the real needs, the real problems, the root causes. We started with the problems, opportunities, and not solutions. We read between the lines. We observed. And my favorite questions to ask during user interviews are, what is the most annoying thing to you? And what might be the most life-changing thing? Feel free to steal those questions. I tested them in hundreds of interviews. They are great conversation starters. In the past, as I started with my career, I was always preparing the interviews and I ended up actually using only those two questions very often, because then people open up. So we conducted in the first phase around 6 interviews on Agile way of working. Already those 6 interviews gave us enough insights in order to prepare first prototypes. We got clarity on Jira users' needs. They had use cases related to Scrum, Kanban, Agile bots, or Agile reporting. So we prepared prototypes, have shown them to 2-3 users, and gathered feedback. Based on the feedback, we adjusted the prototypes, and again, we have shown it to some users. We also published the product vision and the prototypes in our blog. And within the article, I explicitly encourage our community to give us feedback. Our roadmap is 100% public. This is a perfect example that open source product development is actually perfect for user centricity, because you are not trying to hide anything. Everything is out there. So to summarize, what can you do even as a solo developer? Talk to people, and not only to the loudest ones. Ask questions. Go on a user's island and try to understand their needs, their problems. Listen with curiosity and not judgment. And call it conversations with users to take away that pressure from you. Because probably you are not a professional user researcher. You are just starting. You will make mistakes, you will learn. With time, you will develop your interview skills. But I'm convinced that if you bring just open mind, ask open questions, and listen carefully, listen with an intention to understand, you will develop your tiny product management habits. Myth number 2, feature requests or product insights. There is a misconception that a backlog full of user-requested features or requirements, of my favorite word, reflects understanding of the problem, confusing what people ask for with what they actually need. Two different things. Try to understand what people really want, and this is not easy at all, but in this context, I can recommend taking a look at the jobs to be done theory by Clayton Christensen. People don't buy a drink machine. They buy the possibility to place a picture of their cat on a wall. Users hire products to solve certain problems. Ask users where they are and what they are doing when they reach for a product, what problem they are trying to solve, and what progress they are trying to make. The best product decisions come from analyzing behavior in context, not from surveying preferences in the abstract. So start with the problems and opportunities before you jump to the solutions. Myth number 3, that nobody will want to talk to me. On the one hand, many people starting user research have the fear that reaching out to users will be met with silence, that people are too busy or not interested. Some of them yes, some of them not. On the other hand, indeed, many teams struggle with community engagement, and managing a community can be a full-time job. So start small. When looking for interview partners, just do maybe a Mastodon post. Reach out to your mailing list or to users who ask questions or propose ideas within your ticketing system. And you don't need many of them. Even one user is already better than zero. And make it clear to them that there is also value for them. It's a possibility for them to shape the product with you. And since the foundation of open source is transparency, it's way easier to do user-centric product management in forced than in closed source. So make a use out of this opportunity. Every information you publish can be an opportunity to get in touch with users. I often encourage our users to comment on our work packages, on our roadmap. I publish the product vision, the prototypes early in the process, not only to be transparent, but to give them an opportunity to shape the product together with us. So what can you do to make sure you build the right product and build the product right, even if you are a solo developer? Before you jump into build a solution, what can be very tempting, I get it, try to validate your idea. Talk to your current or potential users. Ask questions. Observe. Listen with curiosity and intention to understand. Build prototypes, even simple ones, like sketches on the paper, are already enough and better than zero. And be transparent. Share your ideas, your work, your roadmap. And communicate clearly and often that you are seeking users to talk to. Only if you share your own need with the world, people can respond to it. Otherwise, how would they know that they can approach you? And start small. Even one interview is better than nothing. And with that, you will train your user-centricity muscle. So here at the GPN, I'm offering also mentoring on product management, user-centricity, product leadership. So in case you would have any questions, and I know that very often those questions are very complex, and I really would like to spend time and help you. So in case you would be interested, feel free to come over here after this presentation or ping me on Mastodon and we can schedule a slot. I'm happy to offer that in German, English, or Polish. Thank you.
Thank you for this amazing talk. We have still a bit of time left for questions. Are there any? Yes, over there. Do we have another microphone now? Who wanted, sorry? You.
Thank you very much for the talk. I have a question about, well, how do you deal with the results of user research? Because I also sometimes do interviews at my company and everything, talk to users and everything, but then the thing is obviously people say contradictory things, or it's not always so, or different people say different things. So how do you aggregate your results? How do you analyze them? Do you have any tips to share there?
I just try to consolidate those results, and we usually do the interviews. So at least two people are in the interviews. Very often this is the designer and the product manager. Sometimes we also invite engineering so that they have the possibility to build the empathy towards users' needs. This is a perfect moment for that. I just try to consolidate that. And if something, if people talk about two completely different things, then I would probably need to go deeper to understand why is it so? Because maybe then they need more flexibility and there are two different ways of solving things. Where I observe that very often is, for example, when I talk to users from different organizational cultures, because we provide a project management tool used mostly in mid-size and bigger organizations. And when you talk, for example, to users with very rigid structures, they have different needs than users, for example, in very agile and maybe creative sectors. And they are both right. Then it's our job in the product management and in design to think about it, okay, how can we make it happen for both of them? So how can we deliver this level of flexibility? So it does not necessarily mean that one group is wrong. It's rather an valuable insight to me and an inspiration to make it work maybe for a bigger group of people.
One more quick question.
Yeah, there's a UX saying, UX design saying, don't listen to what your users say, but look at what they actually do. In terms of like when they're like being frustrated clearly about a project, a problem, but it didn't specify that this is really pissing me off, but then you see it as a designer and start thinking about alternatives. What's your take on this? Like how much listen to what users say, I would like to have this and this, and how much like more observing?
I like to elaborate on that. So I would not say to the user, oh yeah, please stop talking, because then probably they wouldn't be motivated to talk to me. And I try to understand why is it so. Most of the people don't have any training in product management or design, and maybe they're doing completely different things. They have strengths in different areas. So my role when I'm conducting those interviews is rather to guide them to understand themselves better.
Thank you once again for the amazing
talk.
Please, another big round of applause.
Thank you.